Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. A very happy Thursday to you. Really glad you tuned in today. Well, here's a question. Where do you turn for comfort? What's your default? Is it ice cream? Is it shopping on the internet? Is it novels? Is it movies? Is it food? Is it alcohol? Well, today I'm going to talk with Robia Scott, author of the book Counterfeit Comforts. She joins me to explain how we can find freedom from the imposters that keep us from true peace, purpose, and passion. You are in for a treat. This is a powerful conversation up ahead. We'll get her on in just a moment. A couple of quick announcements first. We are so excited to tell you about the upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. I am praying, I'm actually believing this is going to become one of the anchor conferences in the nation. We have had a vision for this as we've watched so many people respond to our writers' contests, so we decided let's take it another level, take the next step, and we are hosting this beautiful, amazing conference on the campus of University Northwestern St. Paul. We are bringing in A-list faculty. If you have a dream or a desire to get published or just to take some of the next steps in your writing career, do not let fear stand in your way. Register now. All the information is up on the website. It's a separate website. Are you ready for it? NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. The reason we're talking about it now is because the first 350 of you to register are guaranteed a face-to-face appointment with a faculty member of your choice. So if you want to do your homework, get on that website. Check out the faculty, where they're from. Some are agents, some are editors, some are experts in the field. Pray about who God would have you meet with. Make your appointment so you've got it settled, and then just start to prayerfully get ready for that conference. Maybe you write up, maybe you apply for one of the awards. There's awards that they're giving out. One, by Dayspring, we learned that they may offer you a publishing contract if you win the Dayspring Award. I would spend some time on the website, check it out, and prayerfully consider joining us. I've mentioned this before, but I've spent up to $1,500 going to a writer's conference between travel and everything that it costs. And this particular conference is $150 for the day. It's a fabulous price with a great lineup of experts. If you need more information, find it on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also want to draw your attention to the Faith Radio app. If you didn't know, we've got an app. It's free. You can find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. That way, if you're traveling, you can take us with you. You can live stream the show from anywhere, and you can catch the podcast after the fact. Check it out. We've got people listening from all over the world, and we're absolutely thrilled about it. Also want you to know there's been a few changes to our program schedule. Those changes are up on that website as well, myfaithradio.com. Okay, let me tell you about my guest. In fact, this is what she says. She said, I had a successful career as a dancer under my belt, and the next one, as an actress, was taking off. I had fame, financial security, and everything that was supposed to bring fulfillment, happiness, and comfort. But I was definitely not comfortable. In fact, I was tormented. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Robia Scott is an international speaker, teacher, and author. After rocketing to success as a professional dancer and actress in Hollywood, she left a thriving career to found Robia Ministries. Based in Southern California, she and her husband, James, are the senior leaders at Deeper Life, a growing regional church and training center in Redondo Beach. Dear Robia, so nice to meet you and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. It's great to be here.
Well, we love to start our conversations talking scripture. And I'm wondering, Robia, if you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Well, I would say the one that I've been thinking about, especially in the last week, that's been coming up a lot in my spirit is Galatians 6, which is 6:9, which is, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And that's been really stirring in my heart because, you know, here we are in the Christmas season and it's the happiest time of the year. But I've definitely been sensing that you know, that heaviness that also tries to come in during this time. And while, you know, some people are very joyful and celebrating, this is also that time of year where hopelessness comes in and depression can come in. And so as I've been praying for people and ministering, that this scripture just keeps coming up in my heart to just encourage people and let them know that, you know, there's warfare around this time of year. The enemy kind of turns up the heat with depression and discouragement, but that, you know, God's promises are faithful and the word of God is true. And we just really need to resist the enemy and not grow weary, because in due season we shall reap.
Boy, that is a good word. It is so true around the holiday season, Robia, that you see the gap widen between those who are really in a season of favor and enjoyment and those who are walking through pain. It's almost like the excitement of the season mocks your own pain, and it makes you feel that much more disconnected with those who have what you want, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just, you know, on an emotional aspect, there is a spiritual dynamic at play. That's why we have to, you know, really have discernment and recognize that. And once we do, you know, we can use the biblical tools to really fight the good fight of faith and come against that warfare and to, you know, get back into that hopeful, expectant place.
Amen. Okay. Tell us, if you would, a little bit about your backstory, your growing up years, and maybe what most influenced you during that time of your life.
Well, when I was a young girl, I saw the movie Flashdance. And that was it. The next day, I went out and got a big old perm, and so I could look like Jennifer Beal. And I cut up all my sweatshirts and started taking dance classes. And I decided from that point on I was going to be a professional dancer. So I was very fervent in my study. And at the age of 16, I went professional and started doing dance jobs. And it was within a few years that I got hired to work with Prince on his Diamonds and Pearls album. And I actually played Pearl. And traveled around the world with him on his tour, did all the music videos from his album. And then I retired at 22 from dance because I had already had a really successful career, and transitioned into acting and did television commercials and TV shows. And I actually got saved while I was working on a show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Wow. You just caught me. I didn't catch that part of your story here. So, you know what? That is an amazing story of how you got saved. If I remember reading in the book, you were actually at the office with other actresses, I think of your agent maybe, and you saw a woman, because here you are tormented, and you see a woman with the words, "I am," tattooed to the back of her neck. Tell us that story.
Yeah, you know, I was seeking. I've always been a seeker of truth, and I've always believed in God. And, you know, growing up in Southern California where I was living, when you're seeking God, you usually are more involved in the New Age movement. That's what's more prevalent. So, you know, I got a little bit involved with that because even though I was successful and making money and on television, on the inside I was dealing with things. I was oppressed and tormented and chain smoking and had issues with food. And there were just areas in my life that I wanted to get free from. And even though I was successful, you know, it wasn't equating to that freedom that I was looking for internally. So I was searching, I was seeking, I started doing New Age type things and reading self-help books, which later I kind of laughed about and realized self-help is kind of an oxymoron because, you know, yourself is kind of the problem.
Good point.
You know, and it's a little bit ironic that, you know, if myself knew what the heck it was doing, I wouldn't have been in this place in the first place. So reading self-help, looking to myself for the answer, wasn't going to really do it. And I found a quote from Einstein that I love. He says, "No problem can be solved by the same level of intelligence that created it."
Wow, that's amazing. So this woman.
Isn't that awesome?
It is great.
So, okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So I was realizing I was seeking God. I was open to, you know, different things because my New Age wasn't doing it. And so I had some people start to talk to me about Christianity, but I didn't really know anything about Christianity. And then I said, "All right, God, you know, just start to speak to me. Give me some signs. You know, open my understanding. Lead me if this is really something you want me to pursue." So I'm sitting in an office waiting to go into an audition, and a girl, an African-American girl with really short hair, she walks across the room, and I kind of watch her walk, and she has "I am" tattooed on the back of her neck. And coming from the New Age movement, you know, I thought, oh, maybe those are positive affirmations, like I am the truth, or I am life, or I am light. So I said, oh, you know, what is that tattoo, I am? Is that, you know, new age? Is that positive affirmations? And she said, oh, no, 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 that is I am, the great I am of the Bible. She pulls the Bible out of her purse. She starts talking to me about Jesus. She's totally dynamic, completely animated. And so I just knew that God was, you know, I'd asked for a sign, and he was kind of opening some doors. So I said, well, you know, do you go to a church? I'd love to maybe check it out. She did. She brought me to her church that Sunday. And over a period of time, I didn't understand everything I was hearing when the preaching was going forth, but something deep inside of me was resonating, that I knew that there was some truth to this. And about 6 months later, I wound up accepting the Lord.
Wow, amazing story. So I opened with this excerpt from your book. We have to take a break here in just a couple minutes, so you can pick it up on the other side if you want. But love for you to comment on it. You write, I had a successful career as a dancer under my belt, and the next one as an actress was taking off. I had fame, financial security, and everything that was supposed to bring fulfillment, happiness, and comfort. But I was definitely not comfortable. I was tormented. In a nutshell, what would you say tormented you so? Of course, we know you needed Jesus, but I mean, truly, you did achieve so much. So what was really at the core of your torment?
You know, I just did not have peace inside. I felt nervous and anxious and uncomfortable and was smoking a lot and in bondage to that. And really dealing, I would say, you know, I heard you open up with explaining a little bit about counterfeit comforts and what the comforts are that we run to. And I would say one of my main ones that I was struggling with was in the area of food. And even though I've always been thin and fit my entire life, you wouldn't know by looking at me that I had any issues with food, but I was tormented in my mind about what I would eat, when I would eat, how much I would eat, how much I weighed, how thin I was. Just absolutely consumed, you know, thinking about what I was going to eat the night before. You know, I plan out my meals for the next day, just not having any peace. So that's what was driving me to find a place of rest and to get to a place in my life where I felt like nothing was controlling me. That's what I was really seeking. I didn't want to be controlled by my emotions, controlled by food, controlled by smoking. I wanted to be in a place where I was not being overcome.
Talking to Robia Scott today, title of her book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. I love this book. I'd love to get a copy into your hands. Like I said, I only got it, you know, a fourth of the way through because there was so much content there. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com if you want in on the drawing. Don't forget your mailing address, Susie@myfaithradio.com. One of the things Robia said is her deepest desire, in spite of all the success, her desire was to be at rest on the inside and at ease with herself and with her life. Do you desire that? Be at rest on the inside, at ease? We're going to talk about that next. Don't go away. More in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Robia Scott. She used to be a professional dancer. In fact, she danced in the Prince videos, and she became an actress. In that place of fame and financial security, she said she was not comfortable. She did not have soul rest. And you wrote, Robia, that where you appeared to be in control, you appeared to have it all together. You had a lot going for you. What you desired in the most deepest way was that you could be at rest on the inside, feel at ease with yourself and with your life. Just want to know, at that time, did you know or observe anybody who had that, or was it more of an innate desire that God really put in your heart?
That's a great question. No, I can't say I knew a lot of people who were there, but something inside of me really just knew that if I connected with God in a real way and in a true way, that was the answer. So even though I was doing all these new age type practices, they weren't affecting my life. I was still in bondage. You know, I was reading all these books and doing all these things, but I was still struggling. So that's what really drove me to continue seeking God, because I believed that if I found the truth, it would helped me to get into that place of freedom.
And I love that you met a fellow actress who was Christian. She invited you to church with her. You came to Christ. Thought this was an amazing story as well, though. You had this fear as a new Christian that God would call you to be a missionary to Africa, you know, which is a great calling for those who are actually called there. But for the rest of us, anyway, but I love this. God quelled your fears with this interesting story of a story about a Michelangelo. Tell us that story.
Yes, you know, I had a mindset like I think some people in the world have about who God is, and you know, being a Christian would mean that I couldn't have fun anymore, and God wanted to take away my personality, and I had to be super conservative and wear my hair in a bun, and I couldn't have cute shoes, and so I didn't know how to put it all together. Like, what does being a Christian mean? Is God going to take everything I love from me, and I have to live this kind of life that's you know, controlled and not enjoyable? So, you know, again, I kind of went to God, and I said, you know, I'm wrestling with this. I don't know. You know, being a born-again Christian, you know, the New Age God is sort of a all things, anything you want to do kind of God. You know, anything kind of flies in the New Age. But with Christianity, I thought it was a little bit more strict. So I said, all right, God, you know, how do I make this work? So again, out of nowhere, I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I found myself reading an article, and it was about Michelangelo. And this article said that when Michelangelo, you know, was sculpting, he would stand in front of a huge piece of marble. And instead of trying to create a statue or make a piece of art, he would see the finished work inside the marble, and he would simply chip away at the excess that was keeping it from being the masterpiece that it already was.
It's amazing.
And when I read that, the Spirit of God just spoke to me, and I just felt like God said, that's who I am. I don't want to take things you love away from you. If you will trust me and let me come, you know, put yourself into the master's hands or the potter's hands, if you will, all I'm going to do is chip away at all that excess, the bondage, the fear, the torment, the eating issues, everything that's keeping you from being the masterpiece that I created you to be.
And you basically just said this, but I just have to read it because you wrote it so beautifully. And I just think this might be for somebody listening today. Robia writes, that story, the Michelangelo story, brought a shift and a release for me. I realized that God works this way too, and that surrendering my life to Christ did not mean that he would take away my personality, everything I loved, and what ultimately made me me. Like Michelangelo, God only chips away at the excess, the fears, the addictions, the wrong belief systems, and the mental and emotional torment that hinder us from being the masterpieces he created us to be. Boy, this really is at the core of true freedom, is trusting that he's a good father. We withhold so much from him and default to these counterfeit comforts because we really don't believe he's good, wouldn't you say?
I think that's so important. When we really know the nature of who God is, you know, a big part of counterfeit comforts is teaching people the how-to and taking them step by step into an intimate place with God so they can experience him, they can hear his voice, they can encounter him. And what I found, it's so interesting, in all the years I've been doing ministry, I think the number one thing I hear from people is, I want to hear God's voice. I don't feel like I hear God. So there's such a desire there to hear and experience him. But what I've also found at the same time is, even while some of us are seeking God, on some level, we may not even be conscious of it, but we're kind of keeping him at arm's length at the same time, because we're a little scared when we get in there in God's presence. What is he going to say? Is he going to shame us? Is he going to tell us how bad we are? Is he going to judge us? So it's so crucial that we understand that God loves us. He's never, ever going to shame us. You know, he's going to expose things that are hurting us and keeping us from being free, but it's always in love. It's never to put us down or to be critical or harsh. That's just not his nature. In God's presence is the safest place, the most loving place. That is the place of freedom.
In God's presence is the most loving place, the safest place, the place of true freedom. I want to repeat what you said also, because I believe this is for somebody. Robia says, we long to hear God's voice while at the same time we keep him at arm's length because we're afraid of what he has to say. You know, your book really, fear does seem to weave through so much of that, that we turn to counterfeit comforts, and we're going to define those on the other side of the break. But there's so much fear about feeling uncomfortable, fearing what God has to say, as you say, fearing what it might cost us to walk to freedom. I mean, we've got probably about 4 minutes to the hard break at the bottom, but speak to how much more energy it takes to stay captive than it does to wrestle through some of this stuff.
Yeah, one of the quotes that I have in the book and some things that God spoke to me is you have to feel and deal in order to heal. And I think sometimes as Christians, we all understand or we get a sense that, you know, being in the Lord means that there's joy and that there's, you know, peace. And then sometimes we kind of try to put that on, that joyful, peaceful result. But then deep down, there's all these things we just haven't been dealing with. And that's why sometimes, you know, there's an it's not as authentic as it can be. But what God showed me is that you have to be willing to kind of get in there and go into some of the not so pretty areas. And he's not judging us for those areas. He understands that we're wounded. You know, we've all been through things. We've all been hurt, been betrayed, abandoned, disappointed, you know, lied to. There's things that we've all dealt with. And if we don't deal with those wounds, you know, they do. They manifest. The feelings that we don't deal with will deal with us. And they'll find a way to the surface and they will come out and kind of rule us. So we really have to go in there and be willing to feel those things, allow God into those areas so that we're not just kind of trying to bandage them, but we're actually letting the healer, because that is what God does, that's his job, letting him into those places so that he can heal us. And it's something we'll talk about more about how all the counterfeit comforts are really just symptoms to a root problem. You know, they're just fruits to an unhealthy root. That's why when we try to control our behavior and we try to kind of muscle and change ourselves from the outside in, it's not really lasting. And I'll share a little bit more about that with how God set me free from my counterfeit comforts and what he told me about my issue with food and helped me to get out of that bondage and to get completely free.
Well, I'm looking forward to you unpacking that story in about the next minute and a half. I would love for you just to say a word about this idea that you say we've become master escape artists when it comes to feeling pain and dealing with our root issues. How does a person know if they're an escape artist? Do you innately know that, or is it something more that pain surfaces and you realize then all of your default methods of dealing with things?
Well, I think if there are any areas, anything in your life that you feel that is controlling you, it usually is kind of like an alert that there's something beneath the surface. You know, none of us binge on food because we like Oreos. You know,
yeah. You
know, Oreos are good, but you don't like I say this in my book, you know, you don't find yourself standing over the sink, kitchen sink, like shoving Oreos into your mouth because you just feel like having an Oreo. There's usually a deeper reason there. And with alcohol, you know, no one's going out and drinking 10 drinks in a night just because they want to go have a good time. You know, when all these things start to become excessive and we find ourselves in bondage, it usually points back to that there's things in our lives that we're not dealing with and we're just not taught how to deal with it. You know, we're not taught in school really how to deal with our feelings. Often in our family lives, we're not taught how to process things. And even in church, we're not always taught really how to go in there with God and allow him into those areas to receive healing.
You know, I think part of that is because we so celebrate a polished presentation. We want to look like the good Christian. We want to sound like the good Christian. I mean, it just really has transferred over from success in the world to successful Christianity versus authentic Christianity, don't you think?
Oh, that's so good. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes to get really healed, you have to get in there and things have to sort of get worse before they get better.
Indeed. Wow.
You know, it has to get a little bit ugly before it gets pretty and you have to be willing to do that.
And maybe this isn't the best analogy, but I've used it for years, but it's kind of like the pre-stomach flu, the mid-stomach flu, and the post-stomach flu. You can't make the stomach flu look good. You just can't. But afterwards, I'm telling you what, the colors are brighter, food tastes better, you love life because you finally feel better. Put that in your brain and remember it. Okay, when we come back, Robia's going to share the story of her battle with bulimia as a Christian and how her captivity got worse before it got better. But there's a word of healing for this for you today, too. Don't go away. Great story when we come back. Something you hear from me often is this: you get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. Isn't that great news? You get to be a work in progress. We all have hurts that need healing, doubts that we need to believe him for, you know. We get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Robia Scott. She's written a great book. I love this book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True peace, purpose, and passion. And Rabia was a professional dancer, believe it or not, danced in music videos for Prince, was a professional actress, came to Christ at the height of her career because she said she had internal torment and was really seeking peace that God provides, and he provided it. So as a new Christian, your battle with bulimia actually got worse before it got better. Take it from there, because you cried out to God, and he surprised you with a whisper back to you.
Yeah, when I became a Christian, right away I started feeling God's presence, and I was getting freedom in certain areas of my life, and I was really excited about reading the Bible and being at church, and it was really amazing. But this area I was dealing with food and struggling with bulimia and body image issues, actually in the first year of my Christianity, it got worse than it had ever been. And so I was like a little torn, like, wait a minute, I'm a Christian now. Isn't this stuff supposed to kind of go away? You know, what's going on here? So I cried out to God, like, God, what is this deal with food? You know, why can't I get free? And, you know, he spoke something into my spirit. But before he did that, I was just kind of praying. And I got a revelation that, you know, the Lord reminded me of John 10:10. That we have an enemy, and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I just felt like, you know, now that I was in God, now that I was on my way to freedom and on my way to purpose and destiny in my life, the enemy was going to turn up the heat. And he isn't just doing this with me. He's doing this with all of us. That's why I want to share this. You know, the enemy knows how to bait our individual hooks, and he knows our weak places. So he's going to turn up the heat in those areas, because he wants to do what he does, which is steal, kill, and destroy. So I was like, why is this getting worse now that I'm a Christian? And that's what I felt from the Spirit of the Lord. Now the enemy was really going to try to take me out with this. So I said, God, please help me. I don't know what to do. And in my spirit, I heard, food is not your problem. You have too many counterfeit comforts. And I had never heard anyone preach that. I'd never heard that phrase, counterfeit comforts. So I really believed that God was speaking to me. And then, again, how revelation kind of unfolds as you're in the presence of God and he starts to talk to you. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I just started having a knowing on the inside. When I heard counterfeit comforts right away, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter.
Mm-hmm.
And God was showing me that I was going to counterfeit comforters instead of going to the true comforter. And he showed me that food was not my problem. That's why when I was trying to deal with food by dieting or cutting out food groups or doing different things, that wasn't going to heal my food issue, because my issue with food had nothing to do with food. Food was merely a fruit or a symptom of an unhealthy root. So I started again to kind of keep going in there with God, having him show me things, and he started to make it clear. He said, you know, you don't have a problem with food. You have a problem with feelings. When you feel discouraged, when you feel rejected, when you feel sad, when you feel alone, you're running to food to get that comfort. And if you'll allow me to show you, I will help you transfer your dependence on the counterfeit to the place where you will get true comfort, which is the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And then your issue with food will just change. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Define counterfeit, if you would.
Well, a counterfeit is an imposter. A counterfeit is anything that masquerades itself as something that is authentic, but underneath it's a liar. And with every counterfeit, alcohol, shopping, sexual relationships, they give you something for a moment. There's like a relief or a release or like an ecstatic feeling or, you know, some peace. But it's such a counterfeit because it gives you that. But then not only do you lose that, but it almost takes more from you, because then you have guilt and shame and it like robs you. So, I mean, it's you know, the only way to have that true peace is through the true comforter, because alcohol isn't meant to comfort you. Food is not meant to comfort you. All those things are not meant to give you comfort. You know, we can't really have lasting satisfaction from any of those counterfeits.
Wow. Counterfeits offer you something for a moment or for a season, but they end up taking more from you than you ever wanted to pay. Wow, absolutely amazing. So how does a person discern if they have counterfeit comforters? I mean, you talked about extreme addictions, but you also address in the book things that are subtle and even benign, but we abuse them. And so we don't think much of them, but we're just ensuring our captivity.
Well, I would say that, I mean, I think we know. I think we all inherently know where we're not free.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's sort of an individual thing. Like, I know for me where I didn't feel free. And you know, it's different for all of us. And like you said earlier, which I thought it's so important to point out, that not all counterfeit comforts are inherently bad. You know, food is not a bad thing. Shopping is not a bad thing. Exercise is not a bad thing. I mean, some things we go to for counterfeit are never beneficial. Pornography is never going to benefit you. Gambling, there are certain things that are just really
destructive.
Never going to, yeah, they're just absolutely destructive. But some counterfeit comforts are actually gifts from God. I mean, food is a blessing on the earth. It's an incredible thing that God gives us to enjoy and to spend time with friends and family and have a good meal. It's one of the blessings. But the enemy can really pervert it when we use it for something that it was never meant to be used for. And even like exercise, obviously exercise is great for you. But when we're running to exercise and we're getting obsessive with exercise because we don't want to deal with things or we're frustrated or we're fearful, then it becomes a compulsion. And a life in God means that we're not in bondage to anything.
Boy, you know,
true life in God, when we get into that place, means that we can absolutely be free in every area.
Well, Paul says, I let nothing master me. And I'm also thinking of Jesus when he says things are proven ripe by their fruit. So if you're a compulsive exerciser, the fruit of that is you're letting people down. You're putting you before other people. And so that it's not bearing fruit. And I think that might even be worth just looking at. Is this thing bearing fruit? And what kind of fruit is it bearing? You say it in another way. We have to ask ourselves the why behind the what. What's the reason that we're doing the what? That really, just if we have the guts to do that, why am I so addicted to this relationship that I know is bad for me? Why do I keep defaulting to Facebook for hours? What am I trying to get away from? What would be a next step for a person who's daring to ask the why behind the what?
Well, this is what I go through really step by step in the book. You know, I love that your show is called Live the Promise. And one of the things I'm passionate about is teaching people how to appropriate the promises. You know, in God, there's so much available to us. There's so much, as soon as we become Christians, that becomes available to us. Peace, joy, well-being, prosperity, health, all of those things. But they're not just naturally handed over to us the second we become a Christian. Like, we have to learn how to appropriate what is rightfully ours. So that is exactly what I do as I take people through the steps, the how-to steps in counterfeit comforts. Because another thing that I found sometimes was a little frustrating for me is, you know, I had such a heart to grow and such a heart to change and love the Word of God and love the Spirit of God. And there were times where I would hear teaching that was a little bit conceptual, and it would frustrate me as a Christian. You know, I'm like, here I am struggling with food, and then I'm hearing this teaching, well, you know, sister, just abide in the vine. And I'm like, what the heck does that mean, abide in the vine? Or, you know, I'm like wanting to eat a whole gallon of ice cream. And it's like, well, just, you know, focus on the cross. Just surrender all. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? I want to abide in the vine. I want to focus on the cross, you know. And so what, you know, the gift that God's given me is to really break things down, get all the concepts out, and really teach people how to walk in those truths, like what it means to abide, what it means to really apply biblical tools, because the Bible is not just full of stories. And my book, Counterfeit Comforts, is not just full of stories about how God did things for me. It is really giving believers biblical, practical, applicable tools that work, because God's ways work, about how to think, about how to get into that place where you experience His presence, about how to change your words, how to identify things, really every step along the process. And also understanding that healing is a process. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you go and you get prayed for, or you even have just a moment with God yourself, and everything's just in the twinkling of an eye. You're just a changed person. But that does not happen as often as I found that we go through a process of healing. And we have to understand that sometimes when we're going through healing, it gets harder and it gets There's stages of healing that don't always look like you're being healed, but it is part of the journey toward healing.
And I feel like that, in part, is because God is building an infrastructure that can sustain the new thing he has for us. If we're healed in a moment, we still have old thought patterns, wrong beliefs, blind spots. And I think those storms that get stirred up show us the stuff we need to look at. And I love this. And you touched on it earlier, but I want people to hear what you wrote here. All of us desire true joy, but most of us have no idea how to achieve it. Wholeness does not transpire automatically. Breezing through the church doors does not magically transform us. There are no shortcuts in this process. There is no sidestepping around it. The only way to peace, joy, and righteousness is through a little junk, gunk, and funk. Come on, somebody. I love it.
Amen.
So
it
good.
You know, it's a little bit of work, but it's really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
The work is worth it. And why I'm so passionate about putting the tools in people's hands is because I find that a lot of Christians I encounter, they're seeking God. They're going to church. They're reading the Bible. They want to put in the effort. It's just they don't really have the right tools for the job. And then I see Christians get so frustrated because they're going to every conference and doing everything and trying so hard. But it's like, you know, if you're trying to put a nail into wood and you're using a saw to do it, no matter how hard you try, you're going to get really frustrated. And then you're thinking you're doing something wrong. You're thinking God's doing something wrong. Why isn't this working? But if you just have the right tool, someone puts the hammer into your hand, then all of a sudden you're still laboring, but you're laboring with some result. And when you start seeing results, oh my gosh, then you're just excited and you want to keep going.
Yeah.
Because you know that you're starting to get free and gain ground and gain the ground of your life back, your mind back, your soul back.
Yeah. You know, and you get an appetite for the impossible. We're going to be taking a break in a couple minutes, but give us one example, if you would, of a tool that you're talking about. When you're talking about equipping women, men and women, to apprehend that which Jesus has purchased for them, give us an example of how that fleshes out, how you apply that.
Well, one tool that's so huge is think about what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because often we have so many feelings and we're kind of overrun by our feelings, but feelings follow thoughts. So when we learn how to start to identify what we're feeling and then we track it back to things that we're thinking, I go very deeply into this in the book. And the Bible talks about how as a man thinks, so is he. So really, so much of what we experience externally in our life is because of where we live on the inside, our ideas about things, what we believe about things. So Romans 12:2, probably one of the most key scriptures in the Bible, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, that can be really conceptual. What does it mean to renew my mind? Do I just go to church or do I just read the Bible? Yes, those things are part of renewing your mind. But there's actually really kind of an in-the-moment way to renew your mind that's talked about in 2 Corinthians, where you learn how to identify thoughts that try to exalt themselves above the truth. And you actually take them captive, you bring them down, you replace them with God thoughts. You know, this is an area that I just go so specific with because it's something that you can do in the moment. It's something that's practical. You start to think about your thoughts and you say, is this a God thought? Does this line up with the word? If it doesn't, you know, I actually have dominion over my thought life. And I find that so many Christians often live just like people that aren't Christians. It's like whatever breezes through your mind, you just accept it and you just believe it. But we as believers are taught that we are not to do that, that we have to take dominion over those thoughts, that we can actually resist them and replace them with what's true. And the more we do that, the more we start to abide in the truth. We change where we live on the inside, and then the outside starts to change.
It's really absolutely amazing.
Mary, that was a mouthful. That
no.
was a lot.
Are you
it?
Kidding me? No, that was not one word too much. That was perfect. I went to bed last night with just sadness in my heart about something that's been a long time kind of breaking my heart. And I was just heavy hearted, and I prayed and prayed. I woke up, and the Lord just spoke to me and just said, if you frame this heartbreak or disappointment in light of you want everything right now versus some things are going to take a while to play out, you miss your kingdom assignment. But if you see this is why I have you here, is contending for this thing, you will rise up and you'll continue to contend. I'm telling you what, my mood, my perspective, everything changed in an instant because it was exactly as you're saying, just lining up the thoughts and lining them up with scripture. Boy, so good. When we come back, we're going to talk. I'm just going to have you, Robia, cast a vision for what would happen if most Christians got free. I often say on the show that many, many Christians are going to live and die and realize, man, I was saved, but I wasn't free. But what could happen if we could break free in the land of the living. What would happen in the kingdom? What would happen in our communities and our families? I want Robia to speak to that. She's the author of the book Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. Back in a minute. Paul said that he considers everything else rubbish. All that he'd accomplished, everything he'd learned, experienced, and knew was rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ our Lord. And how is that possible? It's because his presence, his power, his love is more than everything we need. It's more than enough. It heals us in the deepest ways. He mobilizes us to live lives we could never have imagined. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Robia Scott. Love her new book, Counterfeit Comforts, Freedom from the Imposters That Keep You from True Peace, Purpose, and Passion. Before I ask you to cast the vision that I set up before the break, for the person, some people are just getting in their car, driving home, and catching the last portion of the show. Just say a word, if you would, about counterfeit comforts and why we default to those, just kind of for the person just catching up with us right now, before I have you cast a vision.
All right. Well, counterfeit comforts are really anything in our life that we turn to for comfort outside of the true comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Food, shopping, alcohol, relationships, busyness, striving at work. Not that some of those things, you know, are necessarily bad or good, but we can become in bondage to those counterfeits because we're going to them to sort of meet emotional needs that really can only be met by God. So this is about getting free from those things so that we can really live a life of destiny, a life of purpose, and not be overwhelmed, consumed, or in bondage to anything in our lives, but really live in the freedom that God says we can have as believers.
And, you know, so often even Christians think this way, Robia, I'll be okay when I'm successful, when I achieve this, when I accomplish this, when I have this. Well, you achieved, accomplished, and had all of those things that people, I mean, people don't know. You were a dancer, a professional dancer in Prince videos. You were an actress. You were financially secure, beautiful, and had it all together. And yet you had, as you say, internal torment. What do you have now? I mean, obviously you've got Jesus, but how would you describe your inner life now compared to your inner life then?
I have to say, God really is a God of transformation. He really can and will, and he does transform lives. I mean, where I live on the inside now is so different than where I was years ago. And it's just, I just feel like I'm a walking testimony that, you know, God can really change you. He really can bring freedom. You really can live in peace. And you can start to experience some of the things we see from those in the Bible. Like Paul said, he learned how to be content in all things. That, you know, that's not just a scripture, but we can actually learn how to live there, to really have peace regardless of circumstances and not be moved by if things are good, I'm good. If things are bad, I'm bad.
Yeah.
But to live in a place that is more solid and stable, and that's a real place that we can attain in Christ. So, and it's not just for me. There's nothing special about me. What God's no respecter of persons. His ways work, and for anyone who wants to apply them and understands how to apply them, they can get the results of God's ways and his word.
Indeed and amen. Well, as I said before on the show, I believe many, many Christians live and die and realize they were saved but not free. And what would happen? I want you to cast a vision for what would happen in the church, what would happen in our communities, in the world today, if instead of few Christians being free, most of us contending for God's ways in our lives. What would happen, Robia?
Wow. I mean, people are just looking for answers, and we as believers have those answers. So to be in that place of impact and power, oh, my God, I just don't even know. I'm going to have to think about that because to the idea of more Christians really walking in freedom, walking in authority, I think we would start to operate in that place of dominion that God's really called us to operate in. And, you know, when you talked about casting the vision, what came up in my spirit is a quote from one of my favorite teachers, the late and truly great Miles Monroe, who I think is, I mean, the man just left a legacy of teaching, so powerful. But he said this. He said, the richest place on earth is not the gold mine or the oil field. He said the richest place on earth is the cemetery, because that is where most treasure is buried. Because people have died with so much of what's in them that never was able to come forth the way it was supposed to come forth. The music, the art, the family, the God ideas, the invention, all of those things that they take them to the graveyard with them. So as you were saying about casting a vision of what it would look like if we all really were in a place where we could release what's in us, I mean, my gosh, that's kind of this whole Christian walk. And that's my whole passion about God, passion about ministry, passion about helping people, that, you know, God wants us to really live in purpose, not just live and not just survive and not just get through, but to be, you know, he put unique things in each and every one of us, unique gifts, unique talents. And I love helping people like Michelangelo, chipping away at everything that's kind of suppressing that, so what's in them can come forth and be released, so the world will have it. And it will not end up in the graveyard, but it will be released before they die.
Boy, that's beautiful. I'm going to have you pray here in just a couple minutes, but I think this is a word for somebody listening today. Robia, you're right. We've not failed. We are not bad Christians for going to counterfeits. We are not weak believers with little faith. We are hurting people trying to cope with life on this planet. Our loving Father in heaven understands that he has a lot of grace for us. Maybe speak to that, a word of encouragement to that person listening today. Who needed that word? You know what I mean? Who maybe spends a lot of time defaulting to counterfeits and then berating themselves for defaulting, caught in this endless cycle that they've been in for years and feel like they're maybe a substandard Christian.
That is such a trap. It's such a trap from the enemy to set us up, to bait us, and then to make us feel bad for taking the bait. You know, condemnation is not from God. The Bible says very clearly that there is no condemnation in Christ. The Holy Spirit will convict us. You know, we'll get a little nudge in our spirit when we know we're sort of moving in a direction that isn't going to be the best for us. But it's not God's nature to condemn. And I actually don't even feel like he's really judging us maybe as much as we think he is. He's not judging us for making mistakes. I think God's more compassionate and kind of brokenhearted because he wants to see us set free. He understands that for a lot of us, not everybody, but for a lot of us, we're not trying to be willfully disobedient. We're really just acting out of wounds, and we're trying to get our needs met, trying to get love, and trying to be okay, and trying to have some peace. And God has so much grace for that because he loves us. But when we understand his ways, he wants to show us a better way so that we can get out of that cycle and get free. I would say the key scripture that he's given me for what he's called me to do is Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it breaks my heart when I see so many Christians destroyed just because they don't understand the tools or just the things God's given us in his word, the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, to overcome the things that are overcoming us. You know, we have that power. We just have to know we have it. We have to know how to access it. We have to know that God is good, that he's for us and not against us. And when all those little pieces of the puzzle start to line up, then you start to get free. That's an exciting thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Robia, this has been fantastic. Would you pray for that person we were just talking about who's maybe caught in that vicious cycle? Would you pray for them?
Yes. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening right now, that your word says that we do not need to grow weary, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So I just come against hopelessness, feeling like things are never going to change, I'm never going to get free. That's a lie from the enemy. That is not true. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. I thank you, Lord, that your word works. I thank you, Father, that you love us so much and that you have so much grace and patience for us. So I just pray right now for anyone listening that they would know that God is an all things are possible God. It's not too late. There is hope and there is a way out for them. So I just praise you, Lord, that your hand is mightily upon those listening and that they know that you are a healer, you are a redeemer, and that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. and you love to set us free. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Robia, I have loved every minute of this. I pray, if it's possible, that you'd come back and join us again next month and pick up where we left off.
You know, once you get to more of the book, you're only a quarter in, yeah. So I definitely have a part two.
We got more to talk about. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be a radio missionary when you get there with the podcast. But the click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Remember this, too. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.